Morning.
We had some nice singing here this morning. I remember back in the days when we had only a few little people here. It wasn't all that good. But it's getting better all the time. Today I'd like to speak to you about New Testament mysteries. Mysteries. And what is a mystery? According to the dictionary, it's a secret, something willfully kept hidden from the knowledge of others. There's something in the Bible about secrets. It's in Deuteronomy 29:29. It's good to remember this verse. And people say, why can't we understand this, understand that? Why can't we understand? Point this verse to them. Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So the secret things belong to the Lord. Things that are revealed belong unto us. First secret I want to bring up is 1 Timothy 3:16. It's a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This is talking about the life, death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it the incarnation. It's when God became man. It was a great mystery that this should be. Now, Christ was manifest in the flesh at Bethlehem when he was born as a babe in the manger. And the point is to bring man back to God. This great mystery, as we think of it. Sometimes it's pointed out this way that, say there was a lot of little ants running around on the ground. And my thought on these ants was, I'm not going to step on them. I'm not going to hurt them. How can I speak to them in order to know what I'm talking about and what I think? And the answer is, become a little ant and walk in among them and tell them that. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did to us. He came down to this world and spoke and walked among us on this earth. Now we have as evidences that he was here. One of the evidences is, notice today's date, September 14th, 2008. From what? From the birth of Christ. So when people write down the date, they're acknowledging that Christ was here, because they're dating everything from the date of Christ's birth. The Bible says so, but also history says so. Josephus, who was a Jewish historian who lived at AD 37 to 100, he records the very fact that Christ was here on earth. One of the greatest evidences that he was here because of changed lives in those who accept Christ. We who accept Christ as our Savior and Lord acknowledge that he was here that he went to the cross and died for our sins, and he rose again the first day of the week, and then he ascended up to glory, and he's there now, a risen, glorified Savior at God's right hand. So, this first mystery has shown us in many ways. And the one way that speaks to all of us is that our lives have been changed because of Christ coming in. So then we have the second mystery. We're going to read in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul speaks about the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which, here's what it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what it's talking about is being born again. I met a man in the cemetery across from the house last week, driving his car, and he stopped to talk to me and talked about different things. But one was, he says, "Well, I'm a Catholic." "Well, what are you?" And I says, "I'm a born again Christian." Oh, I've heard of them. Well, I'm one of them. Now, Nicodemus couldn't understand that. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he couldn't understand what it meant to be born again. And the Lord said, "How is it that you're a ruler of the Jews and you don't understand what I'm talking about the new birth?" Now, we're told in the scripture also, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, that our bodies are a temple for God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The Spirit of God dwells in the believer. Now, God furnishes power to live the Christian life as God dwells within us. One of the things that illustrates this is, let's say here we have an automobile. The automobile's got gas in the tank. And we sit in and start to drive. But wait a minute, it'll start. We need something else. You turn on the ignition, and all of a sudden the spark comes to the gasoline and it starts going. So before that, here was this car with the gas in it, didn't have any power to go. There was gas in it, it could go if something happened to it. The thing that had happened to it had to have a spark, electrical spark, get at the gas, and that would get it going. This is like our bodies. We are the bodies that the Lord says were the temple of the Holy Spirit. It means that when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to indwell us immediately. It's like when you turn on the switch to get the spark to the gas, all of a sudden it starts. So that's the way it is with us. when we're born again, the very moment that you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to indwell the believer. So, God is the one that furnishes the power to live the Christian life within us. You can sit in the car, and one day, at one moment, the car won't go. The next moment, the spark comes on, it goes. That's the way it is with a new birth. One day you're not saved, the next moment you are saved. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within your life. The spark comes to the gas, and there you are. You're a new believer. So it's hard to believe that when people talk about this, they don't understand this mystery. It is a mystery. The Lord said the mystery, but spoke to Nicodemus and said, how is it you don't understand this? It's a mystery what happens. So that's the way it is with us. When they see us around, they think, hey, the person's different. I wonder what makes him tick. It's because he's got the Spirit of God dwelling within me. That's how we're different. So that's the mystery. And to folks in the world outside, it's a big mystery to them. They don't understand it. They don't get it. That's the way we were one time, but all of a sudden it came. The mystery came to life, and we found the Lord as our Savior. Our lives changed. We became a true born-again Christian. So that's Christ dwelling in us is a mystery. Now in Matthew 13, the disciples spoke to the Lord about the kingdom of God, and the Lord told them some things about the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, verse 10. Disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And he goes to enumerate some of these parables, like the sower and the seed, tares and the wheat, the mustard seed, the leaven, hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the net with the fish, and so on. These were some of the parables the Lord taught his disciples. He said, I'm teaching them to you. Those people don't understand, but I'm teaching them to you, so you'll be able to understand it. Then the next one is in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And then, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the Lord is teaching the Ephesians there and us that a picture of Christ and the church is like the husband and the wife and the family. They too become one. And that's the way it is in the church. We become one with Christ who is the head of our church, and we are very close to him. He's the head. And there's no head on earth. Some people make out there is, but there isn't. He's the head of the church. Some people say, well, what about this church here? We got a head over here. There's only one head, and it's Christ. He's the head of the church. When you get more than one head, you're in trouble. I remember down at work one time, we had two managers, and used to call it the double-headed monster. One would give an edict out to so-and-so, another would say so-and-so. It's different from the other one. They said, wait, what are we supposed to believe? This one says this, this one says that, and who's the head of this place? Well, that's what you get when you get a double-headed monster. Nobody's the real head. We have one head, that's Christ, our Lord in heaven. And we have a very close relationship with him, which has been established. And he loves us and provides for us. We are to love, reverence, and obey him as the head. That's the mystery of the church on earth. Then Ephesians 3. Reading verse 1. The Gentiles and the Jews in the same body in the church. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ. The mystery was that Jews and Gentiles were to become one, and it's called the Assembly of God, or the Church of God, made one in Christ. In the Old Testament, it spoke of someday that the Gentiles would be blessed. Didn't say how. Didn't say what the fulfillment of the mystery was. But Paul was chosen to tell what this mystery was to be when Jews and Gentiles were to be brought into one body to be with Christ. And Paul was chosen to reveal the ministry, the mystery. Now in Romans 11, it talks about how the Jews were to be cut off. Israel was to be cut off, like branches to be cut off of a tree. Romans 11, reading verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And verse 24, 25. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, wert graft contrary to nature into good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now the Jews were cut off at the time of Christ's crucifixion. Up until that time, the Lord was dealing with them as his Jewish brethren. But when they rejected the Savior and said, "We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him." Israel was cut off, I believe, at that time. The Gentiles began to be grafted in. In the book of Acts, it talks about Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And the gospel was brought to the Gentile nation because of Cornelius, who was a Roman. And you remember the Lord spoke to Peter about the net that was let down from heaven with all kind of animals on it. And he said to Peter, "Rise, kill and eat." And Peter said, "I've never eaten anything unclean, Lord." And the Lord said, "I'm telling you now, it's changing. Now, what's been unclean is becoming clean." And so the Gentiles were then grafted in to the blessing of God. After the Gentile age is over, Jews again will be grafted in, as it speaks in Romans 11:26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." These present days, there are very few Jews that become Christians. There are some, thank you for them. But they have something there. They just can't stand it to accept Christ as their Savior, the one who was crucified. But it's coming a day when they will accept Him. The Bible says they shall look on Him whom they pierced, and they will accept Him. So there's coming a day when that mystery will be solved. 1 Corinthians 15. (clears throat) 51 and 52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." This is talking about the time when Christ returns and takes his waiting people home to heaven. We who are here on earth, who believe in Christ, will be changed. It talks about how it's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. (clears throat) 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or that have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this way say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, what's supposed to happen any day, any moment? Dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll be changed, given new light, new body. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord brings down living souls and spirits, and they're given a body. But we who are alive and remain have a body here. It's a corruptible body, but it'll be changed, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. And we will all be changed. So we couldn't live in heaven the way we are. We got to have new bodies. That's going to happen. So that's a mystery that will happen at the translation of believers at Christ's coming. The next one is in 2 Thessalonians 2. And this is the mystery of iniquity, or progressive corruption of the world, which is going on now. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's something going on today in the world. Most of us see what's happening. The world is getting rotten. It's like if you have a barrel of apples, a bushel of apples, now you put a rotten one in on top of it. Pretty soon it starts spreading out. And if you last long enough, you'll find out that the whole barrel is going to become rotten. And that's what's happening today. The rotting process is at work now. A Christian is a present preserving force. The Lord said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." That means we're the ones that try to stop the corruption. And we're trying to do it day by day, whatever way the Lord leads us to do. And when we see rotten stuff going on, we push it away. We don't want that. We try to teach people that's wrong. But the rotting process is going on. And this part here talks about when the Christians are removed, the Holy Spirit leaves, and then there comes apostasy in the world. If you think it's bad now, wait till the Christians are gone. You can't imagine what's going to happen. It'd be really rotten here. And that's the mystery of iniquity that is already at work, according to the scripture we're just reading here. Then the last one I have here is the restoration of order according to the ultimate plan of God. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Evil will be forever put away. The devil and his angels and unbelievers will be put in the lake of fire. And the whole universe will become under the obedience and allegiance to Christ, as it says here. So, things aren't all that bad because we got a bright hope before us. So there you have it, the mysteries. Mystery of the incarnation, God becoming man. Mystery of the divine indwelling, Christ in you. Parables of the kingdom of heaven, the mysteries. Christ and his bride, the mystery, the assembly. Mystery of the Gentiles and the Jews in the same body. And the condition of Israel temporarily cut off, mystery. Translation of believers at Christ's coming, mystery. Iniquity, progressive corruption in the world, this mystery. And then the restoration of order, according to God's ultimate plan. We look to the Lord. Dear Father, we thank thee now for thy plan being made clear and plain in scriptures. Thou hast revealed some of the mysteries to us. The secret things belong to thee, O God, but things that are revealed belong to us. And so we thank thee for these things that are revealed. Pray that we may treasure them and go forward with them. Realize that all is not lost in this life, because thou art the head of things. Finally, all corruption will be put away. Thou then, Lord, will have ultimate reign of the kingdom of God brought here on earth. So we thank thee for these truths. Give thanks for them. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So we turn to 190. I'm waiting for the dawning of that bright and blessed day when the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away. 190. Thank you. Too far ahead. Amen. God bless you all.